Heavenly Father, there's none like unto thee in heaven and on earth, from north to south, from east to west. There's none like unto thee, our God. You are our awesome God. You are the great I am that I am. You are the beginning and the end. You are the strength of Israel. You are the confidence of your people. Blessed be your name. Lord, this morning, bring your lordship to bear upon every one of us today. Let your work come out with power. Let it accomplish its purpose. Let your people be free. Let everyone be blessed. Thank you, O Lord our God. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Let us put hands together for the Lord. I want to bless the name of the Lord this morning. It's always a great privilege to come into the presence of the Lord and partake of his table. Today, I intend to conclude the series which I started in January on Foundation for Establishment. You will recall that in the first part of the series, I spoke about the importance of foundation. And the second part, I talked about laying the solid foundation for the year 2020. And in part three, I spoke about resolving or answering the big question. And the question is, the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And today, I'm going to conclude, or as it were, pause where God may come back to the course of the year by looking at the shoot and the roots. The shoot and the root. Many things we see in our life several times, they are just the shoots. Or if you like, I call it branches. Sometimes you can call it the physical manifestation or the visible portion. But the shoot take its source from the roots. When the shoot is good, then the root is nice. When the shoot is bad, something must be wrong with the root. What I've discovered as a pastor, that so many people we condemn, so many people we look down on, so many people we talk badly about actually require and they demand our sympathy and our help. And I want to encourage everyone that before you condemn the shoot, interrogate the root.
Sometimes we are eager just to talk and make conclusion about the shoots. May I repeat myself again? Before you condemn the shoot, interrogate the root. I want to look at it, take it from where I stopped earlier on, by going back to Genesis chapter 49. And I'm going to read from verse 8 to 10. And I'd be glad if you can look at the New King James Version. Genesis chapter 49, verse 8. And I'm going to read to verse 10. Genesis chapter 49. Can somebody stand up and read for us if the media is still struggling with the projection? Or let me have my iPad and let me read from it. Okay. Thank you. God bless you. Judah, I want you to listen very well. We are going to take a short excursion from Judah to Jesus, or from Judah to David. Remember, when I started on this chapter before, that we talk about the story how Abraham was blessing his people. And from what we're about to see now, you will see that after Reuben has been disinherited and Levi and Simeon ostracized from the commonwealth of honor of the father, Judah was endowed with transgenerational blessing. Let's read from verse 8 of Genesis chapter 49. Judah, you are he whom your brother shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. That was a great blessing. The Lord was speaking through Israel, saying, you, Judah, I know that Reuben has been disinherited. I know that Levi and Simeon have been ostracized from the commonwealth of honor. But now, Judah, I'm choosing you. You are the one. You are not the oldest. You are not the firstborn. But now I am giving you a new platform, a new honor, a new status. You are the one that your brother shall praise. It doesn't stop there. Say your hands shall be what? On the neck of your enemy. That means Judah was endowed with a great strength, a great power that no enemy can prevail. And that is why Jesus could have come from any other lineage than the lineage of Judah. Because the Bible says his hand shall be what? On the neck of his enemy. That means it will be stronger than his enemy. And now listen. Say, your father's children shall bow down before you. That was too much. The guy was loaded. Your father's children, no matter their age, their status, their position, they are going to bow down before you. Now go to verse 9. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, you have gone up. He bows down. He lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? As a lion, who shall rouse him? Little wonder, we call Jesus the lion of the tribe of Judah. It doesn't stop there. Now go to verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Now, let me pause a bit. When the Lord said the scepter shall not depart from Judah, what is a scepter? Scepter is the symbol of authority. Even today, when a king is crowned, they will say they give him the staff of office. True or false? The scepter is the symbol. Sometimes when the king wants to go somewhere and it's not physically present, what does he do? He sends that to say, wherever you see that one, I am there. Any dishonor to that is dishonor to me. So God is now saying that Judah, scepter shall not depart from Judah. So every time we stand upon the altar and we declare, remember the Lord, you said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. That when I said, look, you might not be here physically because of your promise. The scepter cannot depart from Judah. Therefore, the authority is what? Is here. The signal of office of God is what? Is here. It has to belong to Judah. Nor a lawgiver between his feet. What does that mean? The lawgiver is the governor. It's talking of the governance, the rulership. Any rulership that is divinely ordained must come from the feet, must under the feet of what? Judah. So it means that God gave him the divine authority, and then his rulership and governance over the authority of nations. Government belongs to Judah. Spiritual power and authority belongs to Judah. And he said again, and to him shall the people obedient, shall be the obedience of the people. Government belonged to him. Judah had great honor. What should have belonged to Reuben? Everything was put together and was put on Judah. So you can see here that Judah had what we can call a goodly heritage. So Judah had a very good foundation. But you know what? Enemy always try to fight a foundation where it exists. Wherever a good foundation exists, the enemies try to fight it. And how does he fight it? It comes with bad habits. It comes with terrible characters. It comes in with lack of discipline. So children of God, when you are born again and you are being told, don't do this, don't do that, you're already standing on the foundation of Christ, but the enemy wants to destroy that foundation. Because he knows that if he doesn't destroy it, he cannot get at you. So what he does is that he will say, okay, still continue to be a Christian. Attend church. Be in choir. Be in ushering. Be a minister. Be a pastor. Be everything. But take some of these bad habits. Imbibe this kind of lack of discipline. Get into this, bad character. When they tell them you also have the Spirit of God. Tell them you know what you are doing. Tell them God is still communicating with you. Tell them you can hear from God. Despite the transgenerational blessing that Judah carried, he lacked discipline. The enemy attacked him with lack of it, and can see how old destiny could have been ruined. Let's look at what happened to him. Genesis chapter 38.
verse 1 to 3. Quickly, I would have read 1 to 6 because of my time. I won't go for that. Let's read Genesis chapter 38, verse 1 to 3. Let's see the story of Judah. With all the blessings and the honor that he carried, Bible says, and it came to pass at that time that Judah departed from his brethren. And did what? And visited his certain Adullamite, whose name was Hira. Verse 2. And Judah saw there a daughter of certain Canaanites, whose name was Shua, and he married her and went in to her. Verse 3. So she conceived and bore a son, and called his name Hur. Let's go to verse 4 quickly. Verse 4. She conceived again and bore a son, and she called his name Onah. Verse 5. And she conceived again, yet again, and bore a son, and called his name Shelah. And he was a cherub when she bore him. Judah went away from his brethren. He moved apart. He took a walk. He abandoned these people. He abandoned the confines of the Lord. He took a walk outside the fence. And he became a company to a Canaanite. See, you are, I said it before, when you want to look at a man, it's an approximation of the totality of the people that he surrounds himself with in the inner circles. You can say, look, I know what I'm doing. And in your inner circles, you are the prostitute, you are the drunkards, you have the yahoo, you are the yahoo plus. I said, don't worry, I know what I'm doing. I cannot be corrupted. I am a light in the world. He went into the wrong company. And as a result of that, he went to marry. The person should not marry. He just went to sleep with a woman, she became his wife. And that woman gave her the first son, called her. The second one was called Una. The second one called Shelah. But you know the rest of the story. The Bible said that the first son was wicked. So the son took from the root of the mother rather than from the root of Judah. Became wicked in the sight of that, and the Lord killed him. God didn't want to pollute. Despite what God didn't want to pollute that knowledge. And the father now told the second one, by their tradition, go in and raise offspring. Because at that time, the generations flow from the first child, from the first son. Go in unto her and raise children for your brother. You know the story, what he did. And the Lord, he also died. And then Judah became afraid. Said, look, I'm not going to give Shelah to you. Just go. When he grows up, he was still a young boy. But you know, eventually, part of the bad character of Judah was the love of women. That's how he went to meet the woman of Adullamite. And the daughter-in-law knew that this was the weakness of my father-in-law. And so later on, trapped the man. She disguised as Alot. And I believe the man must have been sleeping with Alot before. How come Tamar decided to go and disguise as Alot if she knew that Judah was a man that was pure and thorough? Do you agree with me? She must have noticed the traces in Judah while she was married to his son. Meaning, it was his habit. It was his bad character. So, she disguised as Alot and he slept with her, thinking it was an Alot. But later on, she became pregnant. And she wanted to judge the woman. And I said, okay, who gave me all this, your singlet, your staff, and then this is the man that impregnated me. That was the end of the story. And consequently, Tamar gave birth to twins. See, it was double barrel. Gave birth to a twins. The first one was called Phares, and second one was Sarah. So eventually, the people to carry on the lineage of Judah became Phares. Was it the fault of Phares? Tell me, what sin has Phares committed? He didn't choose to be born through whoredom. But by tradition, his position in the lineage conferred on him the blessing, the honor that should flow from Judah. Because he automatically became the first son. But do you know what? At the end of the day, the Lord caught up with him. He was supposed to carry on all the things. If you look at, maybe I should share this one. You know, the Judah was so loaded that even the inheritance of Simeon and Levite were taken from him. He had too much that is from his own. If you go to the book of Joshua chapter 19, verse 1 and 9. When Joshua was trying to share the area to the people of Israel, go to Joshua chapter 19, verse 1. Joshua chapter 9, verse 1. Now, the second lot came out of Simeon. For the tribe of children of Simeon, according to their family, and look at that, and their inheritance was within the inheritance of children of Judah. The inheritance of Simeon were taken, God, Judah has so much, was taken after the restoration of Simeon. Because Simeon, remember, had been taken off before. And Levi, they already became the scribes. So, but that of Simeon, they had to take from that of Judah. Because that of Judah had too much. Go to verse 9 of that same chapter 19. Jump to verse 9 of that same chapter. The inheritance of the children of Simeon was included in the share of the children of Judah. For the share of the children of Judah was too much for them. Therefore, the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of that people. That was how much Judah had. That's how blessed he was. That's how great he was or was supposed to be. But bad habits and character led him to have the one that will carry on the generation be a child of whoredom. And unfortunately, in Deuteronomy chapter 23, I want to read verse 2 to 3, the Lord caught up with Phares. Deuteronomy chapter 23, quickly, verse 2 to 3. And one of illegitimate birth shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of his descendants shall enter into the assembly of the Lord. Verse 3. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever. Said, a bastard shall not come into the church of the Lord, even unto the 10th generation. So that means with all the blessings that Phares was to carry from Judah, he was already fatally wounded. There are so many people today
who should do so much, who should accomplish so much, who should have so much, but they are fatally wounded from their foundation. Was the fault that of Pharaoh? Was it his own mistake? But by now, he was supposed to be a man of great honor. But he became fatally wounded. There are so many prayers sometimes that cannot work. When the root cause, certain things are not destroyed. There was no amount of effort that Pharaoh could put into life that would make him to reach the zenith of the potential that should be his. He could try. He could attempt. But until the roots is addressed, the shoot cannot be right. And that's why I said earlier on, when the Bible asks the question, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I said, the righteous can do nothing until he has done something. How does this now translate from the Old Testament to the New Testament? Remember, I said, this is a teaching. I'm not just preaching. I want us to understand. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. We now see how it was transferred. Matthew chapter 1, where I'm going to read from verse 1 to 6. You can go to normal King James version now. Matthew chapter 1, give out the King James version. Matthew chapter 1, yes, we are going to I'm going to read from verse 1 to 6. So start from verse 1. Start from verse 1. Now look at it. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, verse 2. And Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah, and his brethren. Now, the blessing will begin to flow from Judah. Now go to verse 3. And Judas begot Pharaoh. Pharaoh became the first generation. Right? Are you following? True of us? Now, Judas begot Pharaoh and Sarah of Tamar. So, Pharaoh became the first generation. Pharaoh begot Esrom. Esrom became what? Esrom begot Aram. Aram became what? Go on. Aram begot Aminadab. Aminadab became what? Aminadab begat Nasson. Nasson became for what? Salmon begat what? And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. So, Boaz became what? Eh? Now, Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Obed became what? Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat what? Jesse begat David the king. David became what? Jesse, David, by the law, were not supposed to be considered. They are off. Eventually, what happened was this. It was in the ninth generation, it was the generation of Jesse, that the Israel require or requested a king from God. No, God never wanted to give them a king, remember? But they demanded. It was not the plan of God for them. They demanded, and God obliged. When it was in the generation of Jesse. And at that time, because of the law, that Jesse was the ninth generation, God moved away from the lineage of Judah and went to Benjamin. Saul came from the lineage of Benjamin. But remember what the Bible says? scepter shall not depart from Judah. Nor a lawgiver from between his feet. But now, scepter similar are departed from Judah. No lawgiver between his feet. Why? God was waiting for somebody to amend the foundation. God was waiting for someone to address the root so that the shoot can be what he expected. Let me tell you something. There is nobody whose genealogy is clean among all of us. There's nobody whose lineage is pure among all of us. But God is waiting for someone to stand up in that lineage and do something so that the foundation cannot speak wrong against them again. You know what? You might be the one that God is waiting for to stand up for your generation and wipe out everything that be wrong in your generation, and you'll be the one in Jesus' name. So Benjamin was chosen rather than the house of Judah in the next generation. But it was a misdirected blessing that Saul was carrying. It didn't belong to him. That's what the Bible would say. He was using borrowed glory. The glory that he was using did not belong to him. So many people. That was so why the occultists. They said, Ogo, and they can't go, and they can't. They just a perfected form of what happened in the scripture. Are you listening to me? The glory belonged to the household of Judah. But because the foundation was yet to be dealt with, he went to the household of Benjamin as a borrowed glory. Anybody who has borrowed your glory because of the anointing of the Lord and the counsel of God upon your life, today it shall be returned to your life in the mighty name of Jesus. The glory of Judah was borrowed by Benjamin. And for the space of about 40 years or so, that Saul was the king, he was using the glory that didn't belong to him. But then, in the 10th generation, when Saul messed up, there was somebody that did something. I want you to look at what happened. Look at Psalm 51, verse 17. Let's look at it quickly. Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifice of God, what? A broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, oh God, that will not despise. A broken spirit, a contrite heart, God cannot ignore. That was God was waiting for. All along from the forest unto Jesse, God was looking for a man with a broken spirit, with a contrite eye that can make that sacrifice. The Bible says that the sacrifice of what? Of God. There's only one sacrifice that God was looking for to correct the problem in the foundation. A broken spirit, a contrite heart. But up to that time, God didn't find any. But what happened? Go to the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 12, verse 21 to 22. Acts of Apostles, chapter 21, verse Chapter 13, verse 21 to 22. And afterward, they desire a king. Listen. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin. By the spirit of what? For Tia. Now go to verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave a testimony and said, I am found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart. Hallelujah. He found in David what he had been looking for. God had to bypass the law. God had been expecting somebody to make the sacrifice. The man said, the Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I said, righteous can do nothing until he has done something. God all along was looking for someone to make that sacrifice. He couldn't find any until the 10th generation. And therefore, all the problem that had been happening to all the generation came to an end. Remember? Levi, Reuben was disinherited. He died with that. But his children made the sacrifice. And Moses said, let Reuben live. Levi was ostracized. He died without making the right sacrifice. But his children did what? They rose up and made the sacrifice when Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? And therefore, they did not die like their father. The lot of the children of Reuben did not be, it was not the lot of Reuben. If there's anybody this morning, there's a problem in your family. The sickness kill people in your family is not going to kill you. The problem hinder the people in your family is not going to hinder you. The cause I've been affecting so many people in your family is going to stop with you. What affected Reuben did it affect his children? Because his children made the sacrifice. What affected Levi did not affect the Levites. Because Levi decided to stand on the side of the Lord. And what affected Jesse in his own generation didn't affect David. Because David made the sacrifice. So nobody needs to be afraid. The problem is not your genealogy. The problem is not your background. The problem is only if you are unwilling to do that thing that is needful. And what's that thing? A broken spirit, a contrite heart, thou will not despise. God found David a man after his heart, and therefore God bypassed the law. Today, every legal grant that the enemy has been holding to hold you down, today, the Lord is going to bypass them in the mighty name of Jesus. Remember what we were told last Sunday, that or what Saturday, that the foundation holds down. Do you remember? That the foundation does what? It holds down. Every legal authority that any force, any power has been using to hold you down, the power of the Lord will go to shatter in Jesus' name. But you see, don't let us deceive ourselves. Remember I said something? Before you know how to deal with the shoot, first of all, interrogate the rules. Many of us, we are fighting the wrong person. You are in a place of work. Things are not going well. You are always blessing A or B or C or D. Take time to reflect. Is that a pattern in your family? Is that a pattern in your background? You have a husband, you have a wife. Things are not going haywire. And you are blaming your husband, you are blaming your wife. Reflect. Is there a pattern? You are growing a business, but it does not seem to work the way it should go. and you are blaming your competitor, you are blaming the economy of the country. Sit down, have a reflection. You are a student. You find out that you read so much, but you don't really, when you write exams, as if you have not read at all. Stop blaming the system. Sit down, have a reflection. So that you will know whether there is something that is similar that have happened before. You can know. Now, rather than just looking at the shoot, let me deal with the root. But this morning, it does not matter what has been happening to you before. But because you are here today, and because you are listening to me now, the Lord is going to intervene in your situation in the mighty name of Jesus. See, the issue of funding is very serious. There's this Yoruba adage, koki taninu igba osun. Koma ba la ninu je. That is no matter, you know, no also is it camwood or what is it? Camwood. If you put it in a bowl and you now clean it, use white handkerchief like this. Use to rub it, it's to be stained. Even when until Jesus came, the background of the devil was not totally clean. Are you listening to me? Until Jesus eventually came, do you know why? David also loved women now, didn't he? What's the problem of Judah? Women. David even came to clean the rubbish. What was the major problem? Or is the thing that nearly became his undoing? Women. The person that David, while David was alive, he anointed Solomon as the king. David said, I fought so many war. And God said, because you have fought so many war, there's blood on your hand. Don't build a temple for me. David wanted to build a temple for God. But so the man that was chosen to build the temple of God was who? Solomon. What was the problem of Solomon? He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, making 1,000. What a man! See, each time I think about Solomon and his wife, I say, he and his wife was a miserable lot. You know what? Even if it was a strong man that was headed every day of the month, of the year, it would take him about 3 years to go around the women if he has to be seeing them one by one every day, two of us. So what kind of intimacy would be in that relationship? What kind of unity in that relationship? That is, at the end of it, say, all is vanity. So that was still in his that generation. That was started with Judah. Even after David, he continued until Jesus came. Hallelujah. Until Jesus came, and the Bible says, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. What does Psalm 34 verse 10, what does it say? Quickly, before I round up this message. Psalm 34 verse 10, what does it say? But the young lion do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good things. See, the young lions, when you talk of the lions, you talk that shall be a lion's whelp. What's a lion? A young lion. He still lacks something. But when Jesus himself, the lion of the tribe of Judah, came, he decided to pray upon all the praise that have been praying on the lion of Judah. Do you get what I'm saying? When Jesus, the lion of Judah, came, he decided to pray on all the praise that be praying on the lion of Judah. That's when the lion became clean. Jesus is entering into your life in a new way today. Jesus entering into your story in a new way today. Jesus entering your story in a new way today. And every small things that are dotting your life, that are not allowing the progress of glory of the Lord to be seen today, the lion of the tribe of Judah, we pray upon them in the mighty name of Jesus. The good news is that you are the one that our Lord is waiting for. You are the one that our Lord will use. Finally, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 12. And we are going to round up from there. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 12. Quickly. As for my people, children are their oppressors. And old men, no. Isaiah 58, verse 12. Are you there? Are you there? Isaiah 58, verse 12. And okay, now it's finally there. And they that shall be of thee shall build the whole waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the path to dwelling. My friend, God will use as the repairer of the breach. God will cause you to be the one that will put a hand to everything that are happening in your life before now. Remember I said that Levite died with his faith. Simeon, Reuben, they die with their faith. But the children repair the situation. Jesse could not restore the situation, but David rose up and restored the situation. Even the small, small doors that were left in the lineage of Jesse, after Jesus came and cleared everything. Let me tell you, don't bother about what has been happening. I've told you before, there's no lineage that is clean, that is perfect. If you look at what we read in Matthew, the lineage of Jesus, but in there you find the Ruth. Who was Ruth? Ruth was a Moabite, two of us. There we find Rahab. Who was Rahab? Rahab was Alot. Alot was there. Moabite was there. And from there, that Jesus came. So, where you came for is not the problem. It's about what you are ready to do with the Lord. But this morning, the Lord has chosen you to be the one that will put an end to everything that has been happening in your family. Every prayer that we pray on your family. Today, the Lord is going to anoint you. The Lord is going to empower you. With the lion of the tribe of Judah, is going to call me and go to pray upon every prayer in your bag. And you stand on your feet as you pray. The lion of Judah has broken every yoke. He has given us the victory again and again. The lion of Judah has broken every yoke. Oh, he has given us the
What we are doing this morning is what's called mop up. We have started this series in January, and God has done a lot of things. So what God just asked me to do this morning, just what I call mop up. So that any small dots that my busy daughter, you're like, remember I said that even after David, there were still some small dots until Jesus, the lion of the tribe of Judah, came and cleansed everything. Now you are going to lift your voice unto the Lord. But listen to me. The first thing is this. The Bible says, a broken spirit and a contrite heart, though we know this. If there's anybody who is here, who is still haughty in his mind, you know you are here to give your life to Christ. But you are still playing church. You are still involved in religion. You are just wasting your time. You can't be a part of this prayer. We want to pray now. The first thing is to, first of all, be broken before the Lord and do what David did. David did everything that Saul did. The only that separated him was he was ready to admit his fault and make amends. So I don't want to assume. Perhaps there's still anybody here this morning. I'm not going to waste time about it. You make your choice. You know you still need to, so you are here to submit yourself unto God. But this one says, I want to give my life to Christ. Before I do what I call the mop, I want to see your right hand up. I will pray for you before we pray this other prayer. So that we won't just be wasting your time. If you want to say, Lord, I give my life unto you. I know I've not yet surrendered, but today, so that I can be a part of what you are doing, I lift my hands unto you in submission. If you are here in the corner, let me just see your right hand up. Anywhere you are, I will pray for you before I pray other prayers. I want to see if you are here. And if all of us have made that commitment, now I want to begin to pray. Now you stand on behalf of your generation. Listen to me. You are not standing for yourself now. You stand on behalf of your generation and say, from you today, every mishap, every sickness, every wrong happening, every wrong occurrence, every oppression that has played your journey, begin to say, you, because the Bible says the scepter shall not depart from Judah. You are using the scepter of Judah now to stop every plague that plague your journey, that with you is stopped now. Can you begin to pray? Can I hear you pray? Are you praying to God? Can I hear you pray unto God? Use the scepter that cannot depart from Judah. That scepter was initially taken away from Judah, but has come back and can never go away again. That scepter is with Judah now. It can never be taken away again. Use that scepter and decree that today, every wrong happening in my generation is tossed with me from now onward. In the mighty name of Jesus, what key people in my family will not key me. What plague the people in my family will not plague me. What oppress the people in my family will not oppress me. From now onward, my generation is pure. My lineage is clean. Yes, from now onward, my lineage is clean. My generation is pure. The wrong lord of the people in my family shall not be my lord. Not because of me, but because of the scepter that resides with Judah. Because of scepter that cannot depart from Judah. In the mighty name of Jesus. Mantalia, Rehuska, Lehira Baba, Raanda Kuska, Raandu Kaka Sandalaga, Raanda Kaka Sandalaga, Ranga Gagaga Subo, Rogogogo Somboligo, Raanga Gagaga Sandalaba, Reenu Sabaluga, Ragan Sandala. Make the decree. Make the pronouncement. Make the declaration. The Lord will not honor it. The Lord will honor it. The Lord will honor it. Make the decree. Make the pronouncement. Make the declaration. You, the scepter of Judah, are the symbol of authority to seal it. In the mighty name of Jesus, Mantalaba, Lekuka, say, I overcome by the blood. In the mighty name of Jesus. And the word of my testimony is, I am now overcomer. In the mighty name of Jesus. Mekobalaba, reusadala, reendekeko, ruundoko soboliga, indeko soboliga. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now before I round up, just say this. You now say you cease authority from any authority that has been terrorizing my lineage. I cease that authority and I bring the authority of the law to sanitize my lineage. From now on, when the mighty name of Jesus, now begin to cease the authority and replace the authority. Cease the authority, replace the authority, cease the authority, replace the authority. In the mighty name of Jesus, Mantalaba, Rekasubolibo, Raanda Kuraba, Reinsekuba, Raandu Sepolibaba, Reusabalaga, Raanda Kuskebo, Runsakaba, Reende Kuska, Reendu Sabalaba, Reendo Soboligaga, Raandu Sebolobo, Rogos Koboshindeliga, Raanda Kuskoboshendeliga. In the mighty name of Jesus, stretch your hands unto the Lord, unto the altar. Father, say the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. Father, this morning, we have come to the feet of the Lord Jesus. And we are using the scepter which you have erected permanently now in the custody of Judah. And Christ, being the Lion of Judah, we are using that authority this morning. And by that authority, every prayer that has been praying over every life and every generation respected here watching me, I decree the Lion of Judah, we pray over them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Every foundational issue that have been bedeviling your people, those who are here or those who are listening today, I put an end to them in the mighty name of Jesus. Every other authority that have been terrorizing your people, their background and their generation, today, I replace it with the authority of the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. By the authority in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask all those power, all those forces to submit to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus from now and forevermore in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I uproot every wrong foundation. I uproot every wrong foundation. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now today, let your people be free to enter into liberty of your glory and your honor. Liberty of your healing and wellness. Liberty of your promotion and lifting. Liberty of your joy and fulfillment. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we are praying.